We're from the Big Big Island.
You Hear Rich Podcast.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
You.
Here is the title.
Welcome to the Hill Ranch Podcast. Today I got a special guest, Mr. Troy McCready, also known as Big Belly Daddy from Oahu. You can find him cruising Waikiki looking for trannies. But
oh, we're starting off on this piece. Let's get to it.
I've known Troy since 2017. He's an entrepreneur. He owned his own welding company. He now works for a massive corporation on the docks in Hawaii still. He's a father, was a husband. We can get into that too, maybe. And yeah, how are you doing, Troy?
I'm doing good, buddy. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Looking forward to this podcast and sharing what we're going to talk about as our subject.
Yeah, so Hawaii, man, Hawaii has been a freaking mess for the past, 70 years, but the past 3 years it seemed to be really hard. And shit, you were on the verge of leaving your six-figure job and just digging out.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I didn't contemplate on that. I actually do. And still do till this day. There's just some pretty critical factors keeping me from leaving, such as my daughter and whatnot. But the way of life here, it just doesn't feel the same, you know, from the time when we were raised as children. And it's pretty disheartening the direction that it seems that it's going. I mean, you're from Hawaii as well. But like you said, the last few years have really made a drastic change, and in my opinion, for the worse.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. And people they message me. In fact, I got a message today asking that, like, oh, you ever miss back home? You ever want to go back home? And to me, the back home that I know doesn't exist anymore. So no, I don't, because my home was Hawaii in the 90s, in the early 2000s, when people were people. I mean, everybody was good. And now, I mean, you go on social media and all you see is people trying to abduct children. You see shootings, you see rapes, you see murders, you see carjackings, theft, auto theft. And it's on Big Island, which I was just like, okay, Hawaii's completely fucked. Like, 2 days ago, one of my friends that I went to high school with, Nelson Lanez, right, his wife's car got stolen from their fucking house. Their brand new 4Runner.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's no lie that the crime has increased drastically in the last few years, especially probably due to the pandemic, which is another subject. And this is a rabbit hole of a topic to me, right? But basically, I'm sure a lot of financial stress has a lot to do with the crimes and the increase in crime, what's going on, the overpriced living here, you know. I mean, but to me, I think we're noticing, if you ask my opinion, we're noticing, and it's more exposed and out in the open of the child abductions and the domestic violence and the crimes, right? Because of social media and the internet and that type of platform of communication. Back in the 90s, it wasn't as available to the general public as it is today. So if you think about it, you're out in public, you see something going on, you see a crime, most people will snap a photo, snap a picture or video and upload it within minutes. It's gone viral. It wasn't the case back in the 90s, so maybe we didn't notice it. But nonetheless, what's going on today is absolutely unacceptable, especially coming from like our tight-knit community, you know?
Well, I'll disagree with you on a couple of things. So with the financial thing, it's like financial burden has nothing to do with carjackings or rape or child abduction. You know what I mean? Like, I could understand if there's a rise in crime in people going to the grocery store and stealing groceries. Like, that's, like, obviously, like, if they cannot afford food and they have to steal groceries and stuff like that, like, I can understand that being a financial burden. But when you're literally stealing someone else's car, when you live on a fucking island and you can't, it's not like in the mainland where I can steal one truck and I can drive to Mexico and sell it in Mexico. You live on a fucking island.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's like these guys are stealing cars, stripping them for parts to do whatever they're doing. And it's not like a one-off thing. Like, I could understand if it was a one-off thing, but it's almost like it's groups of individuals going around stealing cars and then, like, creating a market. It's the same thing with the catalytic converters. You know what I mean? And there should be, when you look at that, it's like catalytic converters, they can sell for money now and scrap. Why isn't there a fucking law that has been passed that if you come in with 30 catalytic converters, the cops are called? Like, what guy is just walking around with 30 fucking catalytic converters at his house? You know what I mean? And this guy shows up every single week with catalytic converters to sell, and these people aren't like, maybe I should call the fucking police, because clearly this guy doesn't own anything. And he's just showing up with fucking catalytic converters from all different makes, models, and shit like that. So something's up here, but we don't have that there. And I understand with the whole, the videoing and the sharing of social media and stuff like that, I can understand that to a point. But I also understand that when we was kids, we never locked our doors. We never had to worry about people breaking into our houses and, like, those types of crimes that affect people. You know what I mean? In 2012, my dad's house got broken into and they stole a bunch of his guns. That's never happened ever and never happened since. It's just, that's something that happened, which is, it's, so that hits home to me. You know what I mean? And then, like I said, my friend's fucking car got stolen, and like another guy my dad used to work with, Kimo, his truck got stolen. So it's like, there's all this shit going around, and it's almost, I think the criminal justice system in Hawaii is broken, and they keep releasing these criminals into the population who keep repeat offending because they know there's no consequence to their action.
But why? What do you think the motive is behind majority of these crimes?
I think it's people are just fucking people. You just have shitty people in the world. But I also think, What is the easiest way to gain power is you create a problem and then you give the populace a solution. So like when 9/11 happened, they created 9/11 by fucking ignoring the intelligence that came in. Then when 9/11 happened, what was the solution? The Patriot Act. Well, everybody was afraid and everybody was scared. So they're like, well, fuck, I'm not a terrorist. So I'm not worried about going through TSA. I'm not worried about being patted down. I'm not worried about the government fucking stealing my emails. I'm not worried about the government seeing fucking nude pictures that my wife sent me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a terrorist, so why do I got to be worried? They're not going to be looking at me. I have nothing to hide. But they're missing the point. Like, the Patriot Act is still on the books today. And we have Republicans and Democrats and all these people screaming. I mean, fuck, they spied on President Trump, of all fucking people, with FISA warrants. And he didn't fucking tell Congress, like, hey, there's something wrong here. We need to remove this fucking Patriot Act. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that's just how, that's how it works. It's like, they create a problem, they create the solution, and then because everybody is afraid, they go to that. And it's the same thing with what's happening now with COVID.
Exactly.
What is the economy? Have you noticed what have you noticed with the economy the past couple of years? Because you shut down your business. I remember you still had MacCready Welding when I first met you in 2017.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are a few other factors not to deal with the economy that I stopped doing that. But yeah, that was probably one of them. In the last few years, Fuck, I've just been a normal dude working my 9 to 5, but I've noticed the changes. The biggest change I noticed would probably be the housing market. Yeah, we went from maybe mid 700s a few years ago to the median household to now, last I know, what, it's around 1.3 or so, 1.3 million.
And does that come in household? Does that equate to raises for you guys, or is your pay still stagnant?
So I think there was an article Josh Green wrote the other day, but no, it doesn't equate to the median household. So with that being said, like, obviously I'm fortunate to be employed where I'm employed, and affording a house like that, you know, it's essentially doable where I'm at. But if I was working in an average job, like getting paid, what, 18 to 25 bucks, with the cost of living, you know, the food supplies, your normal day-to-day, schooling, housing, there's no way I would be able to keep up with just one source of income. You know, there is no way. The pay scale and the scale of homes, it's a huge difference in ratio.
Yeah, I think the housing market kind of is on the rise everywhere. I mean, here it's pretty ridiculous where I live too, but I still can't wrap my head around, cause like I said, we were planning on moving back. You were one of the main reasons why I didn't move back, was because you're in my ear telling me, bro, fucking don't do it. And coming to the realization and seeing, like, I saw the writing on the wall when COVID started, because I started watching what the Hawaii government started doing. And I was, that was the main thing. Like, you were telling me, don't come back. And then when COVID hit, I was like, something's wrong. I'm not going back. And luckily I didn't, because I would have been fucked, because that's right when they shut everything down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother subject too. I mean, you know, it's a fucking complete rabbit hole. But honestly, if I could relate it, it feels like Hawaii, for the most part, is a prison for our soul. Like, people like us, you know, we enjoy the outdoors. We enjoy the family times. We love, you know, taking the family on road trips or doing camping and whatnot. And it just doesn't feel like that is wholesome here anymore, you know. Could it be the cost of living? Could it be the overpopulated areas in such a small area? I'm not sure, you know, but it doesn't feel... Hawaii does not feel like the Hawaii I was raised in. That's my personal opinion.
No, and I think the people are changing too. I mean, you look at social media, the fucking, that bent over rock guy, Betterman, what is his name?
Bent over rock.
Gay Filipino kid. Like, that's a fucking huge influencer in Hawaii. I guess I could call myself a comedian. I don't know. But other people that try to be funny people in Hawaii, I mean, dressing up as women to be funny when they're supposedly straight males. Like, I understood that kind of stuff when we were in high school, like joking around and shit like that. Yeah. But once you become an adult and you become a father and you still do that, it's kind of fucking weird. And then it's kind of fucking weird that people latch onto that and these people become popular.
Right.
And that
I just think that's their sense of humor. Like, I understand where you're coming from, and I kind of understand where they're coming from. For me personally, I don't find it humorous at all, because I can relate to it like this. With everything that's going on, especially the fucking child trafficking, which I despise wholeheartedly, there's nothing funny about that, because here it lies another problem. I forget the exact number. I didn't really do much research, but I know that they're trying to introduce a bill that teaches racial equality and LGBTQ fucking curriculum in our elementary schools. And that is why I don't find those types of skits hilarious. Just the other day, I posted on my Instagram a screen recording of The Rock.
The pedophile robot.
Yeah. So he was on the, you know, that whole story. He was on the skit Saturday Night Live, and his introduction to his invention device was a robot that molests children. Granted, it was a skit. It was supposed to be funny, but I do not find that fucking humorous
that's what I'm saying is, like, who would find something like that funny? Like,
I don't know.
People,
I don't know.
Like, cracking jokes about it, like Joe Rogan and stuff like that. I mean, I can find humor in it, like how Dave Chappelle did. Was like, yeah, I was molested by a priest. And everybody's like, oh. And he's like, ah, don't worry, I had a great time nutting on that old white man's face. Like, shit like that is, it's, you can make it funny. But when it's like, hey, I have a robot that molests kids. Ha, ha, ha. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? And and it's, and that's the thing too. It's like, if you're like, you're acting like you're gay, but you're straight. I have gay friends. I find them fucking hilarious. One of my friends, Kaika, gayest fucking dude you ever meet. One of the funniest non, like, you think I don't give a fuck? This guy does not give any fucks. Like, I still have a little bit of, a little bit of self-control. Fucking Kaika has no self-control. No matter where we are, who the fuck you are, he does not give a fuck, dude. And he's a bigger guy. So most people don't say anything to him, but it's just, it's fucking, it's weird to me that taking a sexuality and pretending to be that sexuality is amusing to people. I don't fucking know. Maybe I'm just a square. But even
then, fuck, count me in as a square too, because when it pertains to that, especially like The Rock's child molesting robot, I don't find it humorous at all.
Well, and it's like, with when you look at that bill that they're trying to pass in Hawaii with the fucking LGBT shit, like, I've always said, this is never about gay or transgender. It's always about fucking your kids. And it sounds crazy, and people will be, oh, you're homophobic or transphobic, but it's the fucking truth. And you can see it now when people are fucking proposing bills to teach kids in elementary school about fucking other boys or fucking girls.
Yeah.
Like, whoever wrote that bill or whoever's proposing that bill should be fucking investigated for fucking child molestation or child pornography, because something is fucking wrong with that person.
Absolutely. No. So that bill, as far as I know, it's HB 1697. Don't quote me on that exact identity of the bill, but it mainly states that, you know, about introducing a curriculum to teach children in the elementary school system, essentially that it's okay, you know, and not all households agree with it, you know.
Well, it's,
when did you have sex ed? Because I swear I had sex ed in 7th, 8th grade, something like that.
Ours wasn't till, on Big Island at least, I didn't have sex education till 10th grade, maybe 11th.
No time growing up did I ever experience schooling telling me and teaching me about being, you know, a homosexual or not. You know,
or even straight, like, school was never, like...
About relationships.
Yeah, school was never intended to fucking teach children about building sexual relationships or safe sex until you got older. And that's why it's like, as a society, if we're teaching 8-year-olds about sexual intercourse and gay sex and anal sex, because there was a book in Texas, of all places, in a fucking library... For an elementary school that had gay sex in it. Like, literal pictures of fucking dudes grabbing each other's dicks. And it was made into a child book and put in the fucking public school library.
Yeah, that is fucking crazy.
Yeah, and then you look at California with this fucking... And Washington and Oregon with this drag queen story hour. And then you find out... These drag queens are fucking pedophiles. They're registered on the sex offender registry, and the school didn't think to fucking check that, or they did check it and just don't give a fuck because it's not their kids getting fucked at that school, because their kids are at a private school.
Right. Yeah, bro, this is a subject with its own fucking depth and reasons why. But I don't know. I just think they're trying to normalize it. You know?
Oh yeah, they're for sure.
Yeah, and I'm not okay with that. Like, to me, if any of my children, nieces or nephews grow up to want to be homosexual, that's fine. They can figure that out.
Yeah, when you're a fucking adult.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and they can figure that out on their own when their mind has matured.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm glad I never had fucking legal decisions on myself from before I was 18. I would probably be dead.
I signed up for the fucking army at 17. What kind of fucking moron was I when I was that age? You know what I mean? Like, we were literally at fucking war. I walk into the recruiters. I'm like, what is the most fucking deadliest job you have? Because I want that job. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. I don't know why I was thinking that. But I figured I would be in the shit if I fucking got that job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's fucking beyond me that we're, even with the transgender kids, allowing parents for a fucking 10-year-old or an 8-year-old to transition with hormones and all this stuff, it fucking breaks my heart. And I just feel rage, unadulterated fucking rage when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. You know, and with that being said too, allowing transgender individuals, I mean, men who are born as men, just because they identify and have taken hormones for a few years to compete in professional sports. And essentially, at the end of the day, the male physique is a lot stronger, you know, than the female physique, but naturally.
I'll do you one better. In Virginia, in Loudoun County, they fucking let a transgender boy go shower with the girls, and he fucking raped a girl. The school board then covered it up. When the father found out about the school board covering it up, he went to the school board meeting and was fucking arrested at the school board meeting. Because he was screaming, saying, why did you guys cover this up? So he was arrested for fucking freedom of speech.
Well, hey, you know, praise that father. Any loving and caring father would have done the same thing.
But oh, no, the things we would have done would have been way worse than that.
I know, but we should probably keep that off this podcast. Yeah, let's not go into detail about that. But you know what I mean, bro. Like any loving and caring father, mother, I mean, don't count the women out in Hawaii. Any loving mom in Hawaii would have showed her ass up to the school and somebody would have got their hair.
Well, not even that. It's like as caring and loving human beings, bro.
Yeah,
if it's someone else's kid, like right now, we're outraged. That wasn't our kid. That wasn't our daughter in Virginia. But as men, as fathers, we are fucking pissed about that happening.
Absolutely.
And it's because we understand the vulnerability of children.
And the thing is, the school, if anything, should have
protected her.
Had that father's back and that understanding and you know, but it's not. It's like they cover it up to essentially turn it on the dad, like he's the problem. Fuck, any dad would have been in there out with outrage, expecting answers. And yeah. and that's the thing nowadays. Like this situation, it makes him out to be the villain when he's not. He's actually the victim. So it's like we're being targeted for standing up for what we believe is right. And that right there is relatable to a lot of shit that's happening in our world today, especially in this country, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a Department of Homeland Security memo released, what is today, the 8th or 9th? On the 7th of this month that said, for terrorist watch, be on the lookout for individuals sowing discord about the United States government and spreading misinformation. What?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck is...
If I could take a wild guess who their main subject of interest would be, I would probably say it was fucking...
Rogan.
Yeah, for sure.
But the fact that they're... The fact this is what fucking blows my mind. The fact that Joe Rogan had people on his podcast to just speak about different topics, and now he's going to be labeled a fucking terrorist?
Yeah, yeah.
When these people that were on his podcast worked for the fucking government.
Who is doing the labeling?
Department of Homeland Security.
Okay, and what is their motive? Like, why, you know?
Control. It's the same reason why we still have fucking TSA, the ATF, the FBI, the CIA, the fucking NIH. Like, all these alphabet agencies. Bro, it's all about fucking control and power. And then now you watch. You fucking watch. I'm going to say this on Instagram, too. The midterms are going to come up. How much you want to bet restrictions are going to start getting lifted? And Democrats are going to go, oh, we were for fucking lifting the restrictions a long time ago, but we tried to fucking let the states know, and we tried to follow the science, but science is ever evolving. But no, we definitely weren't on board with the vaccine mandates.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they're going to do all that shit for the midterms like they do every year. And it's not just the Democrats, man. Like I said, Republicans and Democrats have been in Congress and have controlled House, Senate, and White House all at the same time. And guess what? The fucking Patriot Act is still on the books. So clearly, it's not about Democrat versus Republican. It's us versus fucking the political power structure.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is a very complex subject. Fucking, if you ask me anything about it, you'll probably get back just personal opinion, which may or may not be accurate, but... Yeah, fuck it. We see it. We see it for what it is, you know?
Oh, yeah. And that's what's amusing is because I don't... The stuff that I say on Instagram, like, I'll go into religion, I'll go into politics, I'll go into health, I'll go into well-being. Like, I don't think people realize how much time I spend researching a subject before I open my mouth. Me and you have had fucking hour-long conversations about things where it's like... Holy shit. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like people just want to, they don't even want to be right. They just want to have the last word. Like, I post a video and someone will say some dumb shit. Like, I posted the video about the most recent one about tracking COVID people by their phones, but not tracking pedophiles by their phones. And people were like, well, bro, you can go on a website and it tells you where they live. And I said, yes, it tells me where they live. It does not tell me where the fuck they are. So it doesn't matter if I know, hey, there's a pedophile in the fucking street or down the street. And then I walk in, send my daughter into a Target fucking bathroom and that pedophile's in there. I have no fucking clue that he's in there.
See, let me stop you right there. You see that? That example you just gave, that response from whatever individual that was, he just contradicted his statement. Oh, bro, you can go on top of the website and type in and it'll tell you where they live. When you clearly made a point that the COVID device can track you. That means not where you live. It tracks your movement about your day. The pedophiles are not tracked about a day and it's not available to the public. You know what I mean?
No, I do.
There is a huge difference.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I mean. These people, they wanna have a fucking voice. They just wanna come on and fucking try to put their two cents in to make themselves feel smart or whatever the fuck it is. It's like, bro, I never said you can't figure out where fucking pedophiles live.
Right.
What I said was they're not being tracked like fucking COVID patients are. Or even not even COVID patients, all of us. Because you'll get a fucking alert on your phone saying you were in close contact with somebody who had COVID and had tested positive because your guy's phone came close together.
Right, right.
Like, that can happen, but they can't let us know about pedophiles. And then they're like, oh, well, you can find a website. You just got to look. And it's like, you guys missed the whole fucking point. What the how fucking stupid are these people?
They either they're just... gullible and they don't have the, you know, common sense to dig deep and do their own research, or they want to just be ignorant and have the last word without fucking realizing that they've contradicted themselves.
Well, and that's
from the get-go.
And that's the thing is, I think they just want to have the last word. I mean, you look at that other thing when those Pauly Dolly cunts fucking posted that one fat chick that was saying that people were picking on, or some guy called her fat at a fucking store. And they're like, why don't fucking Polynesian men like big Mamona Polynesian women? And I go on there and I'm like, because it's not fucking healthy. Because I like to do outdoor things with my spouse because I want to be healthy. 2,500 people die of heart disease in Hawaii every fucking year. Guess what that's from? It's from fucking obesity. 3,500 die from diabetes. A lot of those are from fucking obesity. It's from lifestyle choices. So maybe I'm not attracted to a fucking fat lady because if she's not going to take care of herself, how the fuck is she going to take care of me and my kids? And what do they do? Block.
Well, I mean, that's another thing, you know, it's your perspective, it's your opinion. Everyone's entitled to their own. But a lot of people can't handle the bluntness of your type of character.
Oh, no, but that's what was crazy, dude. I typed stuff out and then I stopped myself and was like, if I post this, they're going to fucking block me. So I deleted it and I said everything very nicely, very politically correct. I never called anybody fat. I said I just use obese in all of my fucking terms and they still blocked me.
Oh, you know, we're in generation soft. What the fuck else do you expect?
Yeah, but obviously with her size, she's not going to be living much longer anyway, so I don't give a fuck.
She's a few malasadas away from
us. Oh, malasadas, bro. I could smash some fucking malasadas from text driving. Oh, the nasty things I would do to those malasadas.
Yeah, let's leave that off this podcast.
Text driving malasadas from fucking Honokaa. Oh, man. Especially the strawberry ones. Oh. And then the guava ones, bro. I tell you what. So,
Yeah, I'm glad you're thinking about that when you're about to enter fight camp.
Fuck, dude. I know. I'm just, oh, my God. Yeah.
I'll send you pics every day.
Fuck, I'll send you pictures of my ass while you do that. No, that's fucking another whole nother topic. It's like, what I didn't tell everybody is you were also a pro mixed martial arts fighter back in the day.
Oh, I fought Muay Thai, but yeah.
Or yeah, Muay Thai,
not,
sorry.
Not pro MMA, but yeah, you know, we had our fair share of training back in the days, but living and life.
What? Yeah, I was going to ask you, so what compelled you to stop and then kind of got fat? What happened?
Oh, I'm labeled as fat.
I can call you thick or hefty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I can call you Mamona if you like that.
No, I'll consider myself being a little chunk at the moment, but not for much longer. Anyways, yeah, so I actually moved to California my junior year of high school. You know, I was training up there at Team Oyama, you know, great area. Did my thing, did a lot of training up there and whatever fights we had. But I ended up moving back to Hawaii and I started welding back in 2011, 2010. And I've just been doing that since. I met my ex-wife at the time. We were married for a good 7 years or so. And I guess trying to always strive to do good with my career, make the money. You know, I didn't want my family struggling. We met and then we had our daughter pretty immediately after we met. So it was just like a light switch for me. All I wanted to do was make sure my family was good to go. So I did what every other hardworking parent would do. Wake up, go to work, do the best you can. And
chase money.
Yeah, and come home. Well, and waste money.
No, I said chase money.
Oh, yeah, chase money. Yeah. That was my main goal. I mean, it's not an excuse. Definitely not an excuse for me not being as active as I once was earlier in life, but that is what my distraction was at the time. And honestly, bro, ever since I had my daughter, fuck, it's been go work and go home. And I didn't want to spend nothing else, no free time anywhere else but with her, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's where, because before that, it was just train, fight, train, day in, day out, live, eat, sleep, shit, repeat, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of took the training, and my main focus was work. So I was a repeat for work. Sometimes we would work 18 hours straight, fucking 6 months, 7 days a week, you know. We put in some hours, but that main focus went from the gym to my professional work career. And, I mean, you already know the story. We can talk about this on another podcast, but a brief summary highlight of it all was, you know, I did end up going through a divorce.
No. Actually, that was a headache. I want to get into that too a little bit. So
yeah.
Every time I have guys on the podcast, I always bring up their personal relationships, because at a Hill Ranch, you know, marriage is a big thing for us. Family is a big thing for us. Kids are a big thing for us. And me personally, building stronger, better families in men. And doesn't go to say that I haven't had my fucking issues, because Lord knows I have. And that I was with you kind of when you were going through that whole thing is kind of when we've met. About a year after we met or something like that is when you started going through your divorce.
Yeah.
And after that, I kind of, when you went through your divorce and we kind of talked about it, it was, I think a lot of it was you putting blame on your ex-wife, and it was, you were in a place of kind of hatred, like, oh, I didn't do nothing wrong. It was all her. And then I've watched you grow from that to the person where it's like, you know what? I did a lot of fucked up shit, and accepting self-responsibility and turning around and saying, like, it takes two to fuck up a marriage. It wasn't just her. And that made me really proud of you, because I'm like, oh, he understands now. He's realizing in himself, so he doesn't relapse and make these mistakes in his next fucking relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so you're actually probably the first person I called and told that, you know, what was going on at the time. But, yeah, you're right. At that exact moment when I found out, you know, she wanted to leave and whatnot, nothing was wrong with me. I didn't do anything wrong, you know. It was all her. And that's what costed my marriage as well. Because throughout that marriage, I mean, of course we all had great times, great memories, right? But and the best thing about it is, you know, we were both blessed with a beautiful daughter. But my mindset wasn't mature at the time. You know, it wasn't, and not financially, and as far as being responsible to go to work. But it just wasn't mature for the small things. You know,
yeah.
Women for the most part, they're emotional. I wasn't as
emotionally invested.
Yeah, I wasn't as patient as I could have been. You know, I lacked a lot of empathy. I didn't have that will to even care, because I was so busy working. I was like, yeah, whatever. You know, and I'm not proud of it, but I always remind myself. For example, my ex-wife at the time came home from work one day after a long day of work, and said, hey, you know, can we talk? I'm having a shitty day, and I just really, really need to talk to you. And I was tired. Fuck, I just got done working. I stink a double shift, over 20 hours or some shit like that. And at the time, my answer was to her was, oh, I'm not your therapist. You know, go find a therapist to talk to.
Yeah.
What fucking wife wants to come home to that, you know?
Yeah.
Now I look back at it and, yeah, I don't blame her for leaving. I don't blame her at all. You know, I was a fucking dick. But I was also young, and I didn't have a father in my life to guide me and correct me and show me how to love a woman. So, hey, it costed me my marriage, but it was probably one of the biggest lessons of my life, and it helped me grow mentally and emotionally as a individual. So, I mean, I'm only taking the best out of everything. You know, there were negatives, but just look at the positives out of everything. And
yeah, because and it's I think that's what we get caught up in is like, like when I did my first mushroom trip, I'm sitting there in my backyard and I'm fucking staring at the sky. I'm trying to figure out what the fuck is wrong with me. I'm working through my post-traumatic stress. I'm working through not being in the teams anymore. I'm working through all this shit. And I'm just looking at the sky, and the sky's a dull gray. And then there's a black cloud that appears on the horizon and comes across. And I fucking stare at that cloud the whole time until it disappears. And it fucking hit me. No matter how much shit we're going through in life, no matter how good our life is, no matter how great our fucking job is or our marriages or our kids are. As soon as one little fucking negative speck shows up on the horizon, we as humans zone into that. And that's the only thing we fucking see. So when you look at it and you go, oh, yeah, I was married to that fucking bitch over there and she took my fucking money in the divorce and she took this from me and she took my time and wasted 7 years of my life. Like, or, man, she helped me fucking grow. She helped me realize that I need to be a better man, a better father. She gave me my fucking beautiful daughter. Like, there's so much more good that came out of that relationship than bad. I guarantee fucking to you. But we get so caught up and overwhelmed with the negative that we don't see the net positive. And I think you're seeing the positive, and that's fucking beautiful.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, yeah, 100% agree.
And then we went from there. You met someone else, and I watched from afar that growth and that caring nature of I care about you. I give you all the attention and all of this stuff. And you went through that whole thing and you got royally fucked, because
there's always two sides to a story, but you know, for the most part, you know in detail what happened. So
I was there. There was a lot of lying going on. There was a lot of crazy shit going on, and it wasn't on your end. And I don't say that because me and you are friends. Like I just said, like, your ex-wife, she's a good fucking mom. She takes care of your daughter. She's a good person. She just wasn't getting what she needed at the time. It is what it is. I don't fucking blame her, or I don't think any less of her. But this other person, for me personally, like, seeing what happened to you, I was like, I cannot fucking believe this bitch. After everything, because I got to see both sides of the story because she told my wife both sides of the story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know what, Kipes? Like, honestly, that was not even my ex-wife, but that was probably one of the biggest heartbreaks of my life, right? Because I approached it like this. I fucked up in my marriage and I wasn't attentive to detail, and whatever I didn't do, I tried to take that and make sure that I checked it all off, you know, make sure that I was attentive, make sure that I was patient, make sure that I was understanding, emotionally supportive. But we all know how it turned out. Fuck, it didn't go as I planned. However, I'm so grateful for the experience, because that second breakup, that second heartbreak was probably one of the biggest fucking lessons of my life, if not the biggest, as far as being in a relationship wise. And that right there, that disappointment has brought me to a place of confidence of, you know, I've fucking had experienced everything. I've been lied to, I've been cheated on, I've been left when I was promised or at least unexpected to believe. And now at this point, whichever way I go, you know, whoever I decide to invest in and you know, spend the rest of my life with next time, like, I don't have to worry. Like, I'm good. You know, I've been through everything. So I know that I can get through it again if it ever happened.
And I also think, sorry to cut you off, but I also think those are lessons learned, right? With the first one, you wasn't emotionally invested enough. The second one, you're overly emotionally invested, so she thought she could do whatever the fuck she wanted because you're going to be there regardless. So we need to find, like, a happy medium.
Yeah.
Which I think you're learning.
Well, I mean, fuck, life's a learning lesson, right? I ain't young. I'm, what, 33 now?
Yeah.
But the thing is, I never had that father figure, like I said, to show me how to treat a woman.
We can go into that too if you want. Growing up, because it seems like most men that have issues as adults didn't have the guidance of a father to show us what we were supposed to be, or they showed us stuff that we took the negative from the relationship instead of the positive thing. So, like, me and my wife, when we got married, we would argue. My parents, when they would fight, it would be my mom goes in the room, my dad sleeps on the couch. They don't talk for a fucking week. Doesn't matter what the fight was over. That's just how it was. My dad would get up in the morning, go downstairs, grab his clothes out of the laundry, leave out the bottom door, get in his truck and go to work. Then my mom would wake up. She would go to work. My dad would come home. We'd go outside. We'd fucking work on the trailers or work on the wall or work on the yard. My mom would come home, take a shower, straight in the room. And they just wouldn't talk until they made up and whatever. And I carried that into my marriage where my wife wanted to talk. And I would just, like, my brain would fucking lock. And I wasn't hearing a fucking thing she said. I didn't want to, like, I would just zone out and not listen. And she would get frustrated and fucking pissed and cry. And luckily, my wife is super strong. So she was able to kind of work through that with me. And I didn't fix that until I fucking did my mushrooms. But that's all I knew growing up. You know what I mean? That's how my parents fought. They didn't, like, people have parents that get fucking violent, that throw each other through windows, that are, cops are called for domestics. That's not how I grew up. So I only knew, hey, when you argue, you shut the fuck up. You guys don't talk about it. And then you just make up. And I mean, obviously it was wrong because my parents got fucking divorced. But what else was I supposed to do? I didn't know any better.
And that I think that's why us as parents now, we think before we make a step, you know, because we have our fans watching, our kids. They watch everything. You know, they watch what we do. They watch how we move.
Yeah.
And we can relate and not make the same mistakes that, well, I don't know about mistakes, but not fight in front of them like our parents used to, because I don't know about you, but I remember how it made me feel when my stepdad and my mom used to fight and I didn't like it, you know?
Well, that's the thing is, like, for me, I never experienced that because when my parents would fight, they wouldn't talk. So there wasn't the screaming and the yelling and the violence and all that stuff. It was just like, oh, I guess we're fucking having pork and peas for dinner and mom's not at the table with us. You know what I mean? Like, my dad would just shell up in this fucking hole because he doesn't, like, he just didn't, he wasn't an emotional person. So he locked all his emotions up.
Yeah.
And I think now as the men who are raising kids, we kind of need to fix our fucking issues. And that's why I talked about spanking your kids when you're upset. Like, when your kids do something to really upset you, you should never fucking touch them because you can't control your anger and your power over them. And that's when you're going to get kids that fucking hate you. But I mean, if the kid talks back to the teacher, he comes home, you give him a little spanking, you're not emotionally invested in that. You're just teaching him a lesson. You do this,
see,
you
get spanked. That's where our morals and values come in, you know? And that's another thing that I've noticed. Again, it's my personal opinion, but it seems that there's a lack of discipline in a lot of homes these days. And that problem child will essentially grow up to be the fucking criminal robbing your grandmother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it all starts from home. Like you're correct. You're absolutely correct. You don't hit anyone, child, in the family, wife, children, whatever. But you don't hit them when you're emotionally angry, you know? Because you're going to fucking overpower and someone's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
But like you said, to talk back, the discipline is for a principle. You know, you teach, it's all about the principalities. You're going to teach your child discipline, and if a spanking comes with it, then oh fucking well, the spanking comes with it, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't consider that child abuse. I'll consider fucking you leaving your children home to watch themselves while you're out at the bar and fucking partying.
Yeah, 3 a.m. in the morning.
More of a child abuse category than spanking them for discipline, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's good that the platform that we have on social media can be used for good things and bad. And that's why I think a lot of people get confused on who I am and what I do and why I do it. Like, I'm a brash person, but it's not because I want to be a brash person. That's just who I am. I tell I fucking see. If you're fucking fat, I'm going to say you're fat. I'm not trying to be fucking, I'm not trying to be an asshole. If I see a fat person, that person is fat. And, like, a lady reached out to me this morning and said, I know it doesn't matter, which I hate when people say that because everything matters. But she's like, I know it doesn't matter, but because the way you talk and stuff like that, I've actually decided to take my health into my hands, and I started going on walks, and I stopped drinking soda, and actually my kids got involved to help me out, and so I can be healthier for them. And I understand, like, people think you're an asshole, and so do I. They're kind of right, but you are helping people, and And for me, that's all that fucking matters. You know what I mean? Like, if I can get one fat person to live 5 years longer and have their kids live 10 years longer because they're not diabetic or have heart disease, that's all I give a fuck about. If I can help Troy grow from his fucking divorce and be a better fucking husband and a better father, that's all I fucking care about. I mean, you look at our group chat with the boys. I mean, that's all we're about. It isn't. There isn't a bunch of dumb shit that goes on.
Right.
And I mean, we joke around and shit and poke fun at each other, but that's why we. But when we need each other, we're there. Like, I go, Troy, you're looking a little fucking hefty. You're like, fuck, bro. I know. I gotta lose weight. Like, if I'm like, ah, Troy, you know what? You look good, bro. It's okay. You can be big. Big is beautiful. You'd be like, bro, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like,
and our group chat is anything from fucking politically correct. It's blunt, clear across the board, you know. But
yeah.
I wouldn't want it any other way, because I relate that bluntness with realness, and to me, I only want real characters around me. You know, this world is full of fake, soft, two-faced individuals, and for me, that's just not my vibe.
Those aren't. I'm no longer calling people fake. I'm calling everyone actors. Unpaid and paid. That's what everybody is.
An actor.
Yeah, everybody. You look at fucking Hollywood. Those are paid actors. You look at fucking Instagram and all these fucking faggots with big mouths that fucking tell me they're going to fucking lick me and take my wife. Those are unpaid actors. All they're doing is fucking portraying someone that they're not.
Yeah, and I find that funny, you know, like when people correct you or like you know... One time you were talking about a bully and then the bully messaged you. Like, I thought it was funny, but at the end of the day, like, hey, if they want to do something, by all means, you know, we're here for it.
Not come get just that
you,
smoke.
But all of us. Yeah. You know, like, there comes a point in time where the laughing and joking will fucking stop, you know?
Yeah. So. And that's why, like, with me competing in MMA and fucking jiu-jitsu and all that stuff, it's like, yeah, I can be Mr. Finger Bang Friday, ha ha ha, hee hee, but you get locked in a fucking cage with me, and you'll find out real fucking fast.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's always a bigger fish in the sea, but everybody, you know, in our circles pretty much has that mentality of, we'll give it all and leave it all on the field, you know?
Yeah, somebody's gonna get knocked out, me or him, but somebody is gonna get knocked out.
Yeah, 100%. That's how I used to train, and that's how, you know, when I had my fight, that's how I used to think, like, fuck, I'm gonna leave it all here on the field or on the mat or in the ring, and whatever happens, happens. If I die today, I die today, but I'm giving it my all. But I think that approach right there should be with everything in life.
Yeah, you know, it should be. You know what's funny is me and my wife talked about that a little bit, about the, because I think you know him, he lives in Japan. He was a pride champion or a pride fighter. Ensign?
Yeah. So, that's a good friend of mine, yeah.
Yeah, so Ensign, I listened to his podcast on Rogan, and that's what he talked about, like going in the ring ready to die and stuff like that. And I was telling my wife, like, it's crazy because there's a lot of people that have that mindset. But for me, it's always the opposite. Like, I'm not the one that's – we're going to go in this cage, but I'm not the one that's going to fucking die. Like, that was always my mindset. Like, people are like, I'm fucking prepared to die. It's like, you should be, because I'm the one that's going to fucking kill you. You know what I mean? Like, when I was...
Yeah, you're not going to die until your high school bully shows up in the ring with you, yeah?
Well, it's like fucking when I was overseas, that was another thing too. It was like, oh, if we get hit by an IED, like, I'm not the one that's going to die in the truck. If we get fucking pinned down in a fucking ambush, I'm not going to be the one. I just got to figure out how I'm going to get these guys out of this fucking ambush, because they're the ones that's going to have all the problems. And it, I don't know if it carried on, because even like when I got injured, like I fucking woke up and I was like, I'm not the one that they fucking killed. You know what I mean? Like, you can't fucking kill me, motherfuckers. I can't walk now. And my back's like imploded, but I'm not fucking dead. And you're gonna fucking pay for this one.
Yeah, I think that's just the warrior fight in your mind, but you can't teach that in your heart. You cannot. That's something that's just in you. You either have it or you don't. You know.
Yeah, and I don't know if it grew out of like stupidity as a child or what, but like that's just how it is. Like me and my wife talked about it before her CrossFit competition. I'm like, you're gonna fucking win. She's like, yeah, I'm gonna do my best. And I said, you're gonna fucking win or you're not gonna enter. And we got into kind of a spat about it because I'm like, she's like, not everybody can be like you. Everything you do, you're fucking good at. You go on Instagram and make jokes and people fucking laugh at it. You fucking go in the ring, you fucking smash guys with your fucking hands. You go on the jiu-jitsu mat after training for fucking 6 weeks and you win a fucking tournament. She's like, that's not normal. You're not fucking normal. And what you need to realize is not everybody is not normal like you.
Jesus Christ, she's a strong woman to be taking your fucking mental motivation thingy.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, that's what she was trying to tell me. Like, I guess in my head, everybody is like me. They just need to be pushed. But like you said, there isn't, everybody isn't like that.
Yeah.
But
yes.
It's, I'm sure you, I mean, fuck, everything you do, you're pretty good at. Everything Jerome does, he's pretty good at. Same thing with Poch, except fucking Pacho, he kind of stopped fucking eating. Well, I guess he's good at eating. He's not good at not eating. So I guess he's still good at it.
That guy has some extreme athletic ability, though.
Yeah, I know that fucking bastard.
Yeah, he's like a butterbean or fucking... You know, cabbage.
Cabbage, yeah.
their weight factor definitely is not a problem. They're going to show up and they're going to put in the work.
Fucking Pacho. Yeah, that motherfucker, man.
Some fucking people are just a lot more blessed than others. And
What are those Mexican beans called? Well, I'm going to start calling him refried beans instead of butter bean.
Fucking Pacho.
But okay, man. It's coming up on an hour already, but I'm glad I had you on. We covered a lot of shit, but we'll definitely do this again. It's good to shoot the shit sometimes and just have fucking conversations between friends instead of everything being so damn fucking serious all the time.
Yeah, for sure, man. It was an honor being on. We'll just label this Shoot the Shit Episode 1.
Yeah. Okay, I'll talk to you later, brother. I'm about to fucking hit the shower and head to bed.
Okay, buddy.
Okay, I love you.
Okay, bro, love you too. Shoot. Bye.